the good news according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Luke 15, verses 1 to 10. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so, I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. You know, this is a great passage of Scripture, but we probably should have included one sentence that was left out. The sentence right before our gospel lesson, the very last sentence in the 14th chapter of Luke, says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And then Luke 15 begins, where Jesus tells the parable of the lost sheep and then the lost coin. We just read it. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. So what are we supposed to hear in these parables? What are we supposed to understand? Take a look at the first two verses we just read. They go, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him. And the Pharisees and scribes grumbled, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.'" In all four accounts of the life of Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, over and over and over again, we read about these two opposing groups of people, so often surrounding Jesus. On one hand, there's the tax collectors and sinners. The tax collectors were Jews who collected taxes from their fellow Jews, and the money went to the hated Romans who occupied Israel at the time. So these tax collectors were considered traitors, collaborators with the enemy. If that wasn't bad enough, tax collectors were notorious for collecting more than required and keeping the excess for themselves. They were conspicuously wealthy, and everyone knew their wealth was ill-gotten. So they were deeply hated, avoided as pariahs by all Jews, and for good reason. Well, those are the tax collectors, so who are the sinners? In this context, anyone condemned by the Pharisees was identified as a sinner. So along with the tax collectors, that included thieves, adulterers, prostitutes, murderers, ne'er-do-wells who didn't provide for their families, and any kind of outcast or riffraff. And here's a fascinating detail. The tax collectors and sinners, the outcasts and the riffraff, were the people who were attracted to Jesus. These are the people described in Luke 15:1 as drawing near to Jesus, hanging on his every word. It's fascinating when you think about who their equivalents are today. Who are the outcasts and the riffraff today? Well, it would have to be people like felons and registered sex offenders, homeless people, people addicted to illegal drugs, and the most offensive members of the homosexual community, or those afflicted with severe mental illness. Those are the outcasts today. And those are the kind of people in Luke 15, verse 1, who were drawn to Jesus. Why? Because they were desperate. And in Jesus, they saw an opportunity for God's forgiveness and acceptance, and for His love and help in their lives. Don't be mistaken. Christianity is for the weak and the broken. That's a quote from Ted Turner. It was meant as an insult. I don't take it that way. It's the truth. So those are the tax collectors and sinners. Who were the scribes and Pharisees in verse 2 who were grumbling because Jesus was hanging out with these outcasts and riffraff? They were the best educated, most religious, most law-abiding, and most highly esteemed members of the first century Jewish society. They were the people we'd get along well with. So why weren't the scribes and the Pharisees drawing near to Jesus? Why were they instead grumbling about the tax collectors and sinners that surrounded Jesus? This is why. Because they didn't have ears to hear or eyes to see things clearly. And this is what they missed: the fact that they were lost, just like the tax collectors and sinners. In college, I played football, and we had some team rules. One of the rules was, never, not ever, do you show up for a team meeting without your playbook. Another rule was, don't be late to a team meeting. There's one team meeting I remember vividly. I was running late, my playbook was in my dorm room, clear across campus, and I had a decision to make. Do I run and get my playbook and show up late? And being late was a certainty. Or do I risk getting caught at a meeting without my playbook? The answer was pretty obvious. A risk of getting in trouble is better than the certainty of getting in trouble. So I took my chances. I went to the meeting on time, but without my playbook. I walked into the room and I sat down in the back row right next to my friend, John Zamberlin. John was the star of the team, one of the few guys from PLU who was drafted into the NFL and played for the New England Patriots and the Kansas City Chiefs for a total of 6 years. Anyway, the meeting started. And within a few minutes, the coach conducting the meeting had his eyes locked on me. This was not good. I could feel it coming. Chris, do you have your playbook? No, coach, I don't. Ah! And he was off on a tirade of insults, characteristic of this coach. He went on for maybe 30 seconds until my friend John, star of the team, future NFL linebacker, sitting right next to me, raised his hand and said, "Coach, I forgot my playbook too." The chewing out ended abruptly. It's one of the nicest things anybody's ever done for me. But here's why I tell that story. This coach was known for his well-crafted and unique insults. I swear he used to practice in a mirror. That day, his insults were directed at me, including this insult that came out of his mouth when I very briefly attempted to explain my circumstances. Hey, you don't know that you don't know. Roughly translated, it means you are ignorant and unaware that you're ignorant. Or maybe you could say, you don't even have ears to hear. I think you could level that charge at the scribes and the Pharisees. They don't know that they don't know. They don't have ears to hear. Here's why. It's not just the tax collectors and sinners who are sinful and lost. It's all of us, including the Pharisees, including you and me. Sin is a condition, and we're all afflicted. We're all inclined to sin, and we sin daily. We wander from God. Christianity is not about good people getting better. It's about bad people coping with their failure to be good. We're imperfect, conflicted, self-centered people, you and I. We're lost. And that's why we need forgiveness over and over and over. That's why we're encouraged to remember our baptisms every day, to remind ourselves that we belong to Christ, who wraps us in His righteousness, because we have no righteousness of our own. You're called to not be ignorant about yourself or blind to your own sin. You're called to see yourself as you really are. We need to have ears to hear and eyes to see the truth about ourselves. And the truth is, without God's continuing forgiveness and mercy, we're completely lost. So here's the good news. When you're lost, every time, the Good Shepherd comes after you. Not just once, but over and over and over again. When your faith grows weak as you battle the difficult circumstances of your life, disease or depression or whatever, the Good Shepherd comes after you. God finds you in your darkest hour. When you face a transition and the road ahead isn't clear at all, and you're gripped by fear and a sense of loss, the Good Shepherd comes after you and causes all things to work together for good. When you battle the same old temptations again and again and again and lose, the Good Shepherd goes looking for you. God finds you in your despair. He picks you up and brushes you off and sends you on a new path, always forgiving you, always loving you. All of us are lost, like the lamb or the coin. But we've never been forgotten or abandoned or written off by God. The Good Shepherd always finds you. You're always forgiven. You're always loved. The Pharisees hate that. But it causes all of us sinners to weep for joy. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, give us ears to hear. Help us to see ourselves as we really are. and be filled with gratitude for what you have done for us. Lord, we thank you that you do not write us off, that you do not give up on us, but you keep looking for us like the shepherd with the lost sheep or the woman with the lost coin. Lord, help us to always remember your persevering love. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.